Good morning. Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got a special guest in the studio today, Steve Robbins, head athletic director at Cookeville High School. Been a coach in the past for a long period of time, settling in as athletic director now at Cookeville High School, one of the bigger schools in the state of Tennessee. So we're going to talk about that, Steve. But welcome to the show, and thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me, Sam.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I've been wanting to get you on here for a while and really pick your brain about a lot of things going on out there right now. A little thing going on out there now called COVID-19 that you've been dealing with for a while. So let's start right there and tell us how it's kind of changed your job a little bit from the onset of COVID to where we are right now.
I think in the initial shock of it, you know, when we went to the initial just shut everything down that first spring where there was, you know, there was nothing, and everybody was in shock. What do we do now? What comes next? And everybody thought on the first that, you know, we're talking about a couple of months here and things will be back to normal. Well, we're, what, 20 months into it now or so, and we're still fighting it. We thought we had it licked before, and now it's come back, and we're starting to see some issues that we dealt with last season. So it's athletically, it's a challenge. It is.
I think it's very surprising. I, for one, probably didn't think that we would be back here. And the ways that it disrupted, you know, the school system, and not just in sports, but just about everything that we do.
Right. Yeah, every day. Every day's a challenge. And I want to tell you, just in my role at Cookeville High School and in the Putnam County Schools, what I've seen through the central office here, you know, people have done such a great job of making this work. Making this work for our kids in athletics and just all the things that we've done. I mean, from the bus drivers to the custodians to the teachers to the administrators, and the kids have handled it great. Last year, you know, to go all year in Putnam County here without being shut down, where most systems went through a lot, says a lot about everybody involved. And then the athletic, our coaches just did a wonderful job of doing all the things we needed to do to keep things rolling. And I was very proud of them.
You know, it's tough, Steve, too, because you got a lot of folks, and it's always this way in education. You got a lot of folks from the outside looking in and only see one side of or one part of a big whole, and it's easy for them to kind of throw out their thoughts, you know, as to the way that things need to be done. But commenting a little bit on what you said, we got an extraordinary admin team in Putnam County led by Corby King. And there wasn't a day that went by last year that he didn't have some type of meeting that had to do with our response, you know, to COVID-19 and how we were going to handle it. So just that pre-planning, that forward planning that he did probably was the reason that led to Putnam County being in school, which was a major accomplishment all year long.
Yeah, it was. And I think because you throw the school board in there, too. I know they were very pro keep us in school. And that's big. There were people, like you said, a lot of people have opinions. This is a very divisive topic. And to this day, you know, and you hear it every day on the news, whether to wear the mask, not wear the mask, get vaccinated, not get vaccinated. And it's really torn people and people that are good friends that have different views. And then how do you handle that? And since we got kids in the building the same way. So to be able to navigate that, it's been a challenge. But I think so far at the start, we've done well. Now, I know lately the numbers are growing, and it's a concern. I've talked to some folks in the health care industry, and it's big. It's big right now. So
we're not going to talk about shots and masks. Yeah. And, you know, I think the main thing for people to realize they're listening out there is, you know, no matter what side of that you are on, there's other people on the other side that believe just as strongly in the opposite as you do, whatever your viewpoint might be. And as an educator, you have to, it's kind of like the classroom. You know, you have to take that in account in everything that you do and always know that there's, you know, once you make a decision, there's half the people that are going to like it and half the people are not.
That's true. I know Mr. Pettit, our principal, building principal, you know, he does morning announcements and does a really wonderful job at that, reminding our students every day to be kind to each other. And that sounds simple. That sounds like something that, you know, a second grade kid needs to hear. But, you know, our high school kids need to hear that as well. And it also helps the adults in the building to remind them, you know, that we do have a lot to do. We're there for the right reasons, but to be kind to one another. And I think that's huge.
Talking to Steve Robbins, athletic director at Cookeville High School, today on the show. And you mentioned Max Pettit. We had him on the show. Max, a former coach, really on the same wavelength with him. Think he's done an extremely good job since he's been here at Cookeville High School. But Coolville High School is a beast. I mean, you're talking about 2,300 kids in one place. That's a lot of places. That's a small town, definitely a small college.
Mm-hmm.
And so handling that many folks with varying opinions has to be tough. We talked about it here not too long ago, and he was really looking forward to the time when we didn't have to worry about COVID anymore. And now here we are sitting nowhere near the same place as we were before, but still having to deal with it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's maybe, if disappointing is the right word, in the last few weeks, is that we thought we were okay, and still we're going on every day at Coolville High School athletically and the student body as normal, but yet really starting to take precautions again. I know we're going to have a few changes starting tomorrow from the central office and the health department sent out. So we're just trying to be careful and keep everyone safe.
Yeah, and it was so exciting coming into the first football games, you know, because football is usually the first thing that starts or that week.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first thing that starts. And you go to a game like the Coolville-Upperman game and, you know, hard-fought game for both teams, but it was the closest to what it used to be like as we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it was. And I think just the spirit, the atmosphere was really good, you know, always hot that first week in August, and just being closer to normal than we had been all year last year. I know last year putting on events was a huge challenge with you know, skipping seats, skipping rows, keeping people apart, mask on. And that was a challenge for all of us to do games, whether it was up at Monterey or at Upperman or Cookville or Livingston, wherever you were. It was never easy, but we got through it. Everybody learned a lot about themselves and what we could do and couldn't do. And then this year to start out pretty normal, it was great.
You know, in your role, you could probably qualify and quantify all the changes that you've had to make in your daily job. Your daily job is pretty busy. You got a lot of sports at Coolville High School, there's no doubt. But adding these extra expectations and needs to protect students along the way has had to add a lot to your day.
Yeah, it did. And somebody asked me last year, was it the most challenging year? And I think there's no doubt. There's no doubt with what I do in the school day as an assistant principal and then morph into athletic director in the afternoons and put on the games and make sure everything goes smoothly. It took a lot of – I spent a lot of time pre-games in empty stadiums with tape and caution tape and that kind of stuff and signs and those things that, you know, it doesn't sound like much, but I mean, you're talking about it takes half a day to do that, and that takes you away from your other things. So there was a lot last year.
That's a great point, Steve. And you know, you are the athletic director. There's a lot of duties you have during the regular school day for your job. But on top of that, you're also an assistant principal and you got duties at the school during the day. So If you have to go to the stadium and set it up or the gym and set it up with the caution tape, it takes time away from your regular day. And unfortunately, probably others have to pick up the slack that's caused by those needs.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I'm so grateful for is our staff, our admin team there at Coolville High School, because, you know, there's seven of us total. And you throw in our counselors who work very closely with us. But you've got a crew that always steps in to help each other. And, you know, there's always someone called away to a meeting, whether it's central office, whether it's, other educational things. And we always help each other. And so when I would go away, I'd make sure everybody knew where I was, how to get me, how to get in touch with me, but then they would step right in. And so that was a huge blessing.
Talking with Steve Robbins, athletic director at Coolville High School. I think the biggest compliment that you guys can get out there at Coolville, and I'm a Coolville kid. I went to Coolville High School. I coached at Coolville High School, so I've been there. I think the best compliment that I've heard that you guys can get is you make a big school seem smaller. What does that mean to you?
I think first of all, not letting the size overwhelm you, because if you're there when the bell rings at 3 o'clock at the bottom of those steps, it could get overwhelming if you're not used to that, because when you've got 2,300 plus coming down the steps at one time, it's a lot. But I think getting to know kids, and I think that's the biggest part of it. And I learned that, you know, when I first got into this business, coaching and teaching, it was more about the games. But now it's more about relationships, and you know, if you can help one kid, that's huge. But I think that's the part that makes it smaller, is getting to know those faces and what's the story behind the face.
I think it's neat that, you know, Max now, the head, Max Pettit, the head principal, and you, former coaches, you know, they spend a lot of time on the field, and you guys probably see eye to eye on a lot of things. But I think at the core of what Max believes in, because we've talked about it, is also relationship with those kids.
Yeah, and he's done such a good job of being that. He's a strong leader. He knows his educational stuff. There's no question. He leads our teachers. He leads our students. But he's also got that down home, get to know these kids, and he does just a great job of that. And like you said, it is big. But when you break it down, you start learning who this kid is or what this group is. And Max is really good to go seek those kids out and get to know them. And that's, he's done a really good job at that.
Yeah, you all have done a great job at that. And, you know, it's a beast. It's the biggest school we have in Putnam County. It's one of the bigger ones in the state of Tennessee. And it presents its own problems. But yeah. I think the students of Putnam County are very lucky, you know, to have that school and have Cook High School. It's kind of a small city, you know, over there a lot of times.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, you think about it, it really is unique. And I also grew up in the Upper Cumberland here. And you know, the term you used to hear, the hub of the Upper Cumberland. But when you look at the small counties around it, I mean, you know, Pickett County, Clay County, Jackson County, Overton County, Fentress County, White County, they're all a lot smaller, and this school is by far, you know, there's no comparison to it. I think we were number 4 or 5 in the state this year.
Yeah.
So continues to grow. So it's good, and it then brings about challenges.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Well, Steve, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back with the next conversation.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Good morning, Upper Cumberland, and welcome back to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Steve Robbins in the house this morning, athletic director at Cookeville High School, former athlete from Livingston Academy, and coach at Livingston Academy, and around about too. You went away for a little while and made your way back, so we're going to chronicle that a little bit. But first, I want to know, how was it to grow up as a young boy in Overton County?
Growing up in Overton County, it was kind of quiet. You know, I grew up with mom, dad, and older brother. And always loved sports. There was never, I had people ask me, did they push you to play? And the answer is no, never. I mean, it was always just me. There was a love from sports. Going back to, I remember listening to Livingston Academy stuff on WLIV back home, and Drew Huffines. Drew was the guy, the voice of the Wildcats back then, and there was this young quarterback named Jimmy Maynard. When I was a kid, it was the first team I remember seeing play. Dad would take us to some of the games, and Jimmy was the quarterback, and he was the point guard on the basketball team. And Mark Ogletree, there's some great names back then. And, you know, and so just that love of that. Dad was always – and the Reds were always on the radio, so we listened to the Reds every night in the summer. So that was the kind of, you know, young that got me started. Then Livingston Elementary School started playing everything they would let me play, and morphed on into Livingston Academy, and had a lot of fun, played with some great guys and good teams with, you know, Coach Vaughn coached me in basketball because he's a legend, and got to play with some great lifelong friends and some really special moments there. Football was great, you know, and one of my best friends, Danny McCoyne, just went on to be one of the greatest athletes that's ever been around here. Just guys that I can pick the phone up and call any day, and they'd be right there. And that's, I guess, more special than even the athletic memories, but just a neat place to grow up, small town. And to this day, I think Livingston, when they travel, You can tell. It's still that close-knit, tight community who's always pulling for their kids, and that's what I grew up with, that work ethic and just community pride, and I think that's huge.
We could have been in the same friend group because I was born in Livingston at the hospital. We stayed there for about 5 years. My dad got offered a job with General Telephone, and we ended up moving down to Cookeville, or otherwise I would have grown up in Overton County.
You've been right beside me, yeah.
Got to stay in touch with a lot of you guys
yeah.
as I grew up. We knew each other. We played against each other. But
yeah.
Overton County always impressed me because of the tradition, little bit of expectation,
yeah.
you know, with everything,
always.
You know, tradition, I call it,
yeah.
As you grew up. And I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, or football, that tradition and that expectation was always there.
Yeah, it was, and it always, in a good way. I don't think it, you know, sometimes the expectations can get to be too much, but I think, that was a really good thing. It pushed us to be good, to be really good at what we did. And to go back with what you said growing up there, to go back even further, your uncle actually went to school with my dad.
Yeah.
And your uncle, he moved to South Pittsburgh and became a legend basketball coach. And my dad used to ask me, when we lived in Chattanooga, Daddy would always ask me if I'd ever run into him. You know, so that's pretty special.
So, you know, that's – Sam was – my dad's family, Sam was the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Had two sisters and three boys, and Joe was one of the brothers, and my dad was the youngest son, Bill. And, you know, Uncle Sam, you know, where I got my namesake,
mm-hmm.
he would come in every summer and just thought the world of the guy, you know,
yeah.
just the greatest guy in the world, played baseball at Tech, you know, great athlete. I knew he was coaching,
mm-hmm.
but wasn't close enough to know what he was doing down at South Pittsburgh. And he retired, and I guess I was probably about 15 years old, and that's when all the Livingston stuff, you know, the Overton County stuff was kind of, you know, I'm realizing my grandparents and, you
yeah.
know, who they knew and, you know, the playing you guys and scrimmaging against you and all that. So I went to Sam's retirement. It was like kind of like a roast,
mm-hmm.
and it was at, I think it was Western Sizzlers, one of the bigger places they had there. And I remember driving up, and it was dark by the time that we got there. And, you know, we pull into this place, and you can't find a parking place. And I'm like, you know, as a 15-year-old, I'm going, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got in there, Steve, it was wall-to-wall people. There was supposed to be a meal with it, but there were so many people in there that they couldn't do that.
Right.
And so they start bringing people up and talking about Sam. Steve, I didn't know how, you know, I didn't know who Sam was
yeah.
until that day, you know. And I remember being just absolutely blown away, and it was more about him growing up in Livingston than it was about coaching in
really?
South Pittsburgh. There were people that came in from Livingston
yeah.
that roasted him, talked about him growing up in Livingston. And I was just, I mean, that was really the first look that I had at the possibility of becoming a coach. And I'm like, man, my uncle's done all of this.
Yeah.
And the things that these people were saying in honor of him, I mean, coming up, grown men crying, you know, because what he had meant to their life was just a, you know, and that all comes from the roots of growing up in Livingston.
Yeah, I think so. And my dad, you know, I don't know if they graduated the same year or not, but they were, you know, played basketball, same teams and stuff, and in the 50s there at Livingston. And dad always held Sammy in a high esteem, and he would always ask me, he said, now, when you run into the South Pittsburgh folks, ask them if any of them know him. And I actually did. We were playing them in basketball when I was at Boyd Buchanan, and that was a big rival of ours. And you know, I found a radio guy, and I was showing him to where he was going, and I mentioned it, and he really got choked up, just
yeah.
as you're saying, really started telling stories, and I
yeah.
just listened. It was really a neat moment.
Yeah, the thing I remember about Sam is the golf. I mean, we played golf in the summer several times
yeah.
as I was growing up, and he was a heck of a golfer,
mm.
you know, just absolutely loved golf. Didn't know the coaching side till later on. Now
yeah.
the gym's named after him.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
It's just amazing. But those roots in Livingston, as I've talked to Sam since he's passed away now,
yeah.
but as I've talked to him after that fact, you know, he really takes everything back to growing up in Overton County. And, you know, they had a lot of freedom at those ages. You know, my dad's father passed away early. His mom ended up leaving and going somewhere else because she just couldn't handle the stress of having five kids.
Right.
And so they basically grew up wherever they could. I mean, it's no one night they might stay at somebody's house and the next night be at the next house. Whoever would help them, whoever would take them in, you know, rough life growing up. But he all of the success that he's had since then and all of the brothers and sisters, you know, really point back to their upbringing in Livingston.
Yeah, and I think it was a lot of it was simple. You know, my dad was a twin, and they played in the 50s for a young coach named Elmo Swallows, and you might know that name.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he is Swallows Insurance. He started it, but he was a basketball and football guy before that. He was a coach, and then he got out of coaching and got in the insurance business. I guess I just gave Swallows a big plug, huh? But anyway, Matt will appreciate that. You know, Daddy and his twin brother, Leon Robbins, they would go to the games and play, and then he stood a lot of nights because his dad was a farmer and they had all these things. They had a house full of kids that they would have to get a ride home. And he said a lot of times they would run home. Well, they lived almost on the Clay County line. And so you're talking 12, 15 miles after they played. And he said, it was just nothing. We just start jogging home. He said, sometimes we'd get a ride, sometimes we wouldn't, you know. And it was just no big deal to him. And I think the simplicity of that's pretty big. And I think a lot of the guys I grew up with, Danny McCoin, Matt and Mark Eldridge, Eddie Leonard, those guys, I think we all kind of grew up the same way and in a simple way. And we just wanted to do what we were supposed to and play ball. And that was a lot of it.
Well, man, how times have changed.
Yes.
That's all I can say about that. And being a parent of two, I can definitely vouch for that. My daughter is not going to run 14 miles anywhere, I can tell you that right now.
Yes.
So, you know, times, they have changed. We're going to take a quick break, Steve. We'll come back and continue that conversation. Welcome back to Local Matters Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, again talking to athletic director at Cooper High School, Steve Robbins. And, Steve, I want to throw a couple names out there of folks that we both know and you've grown up with. And I guess the first one, I got a little story at the end of it to tell you, but Danny McCoin.
Danny McCoin moved, of course, his roots are Livingston, just like mine and a lot of other people, but he moved back. He had been in Nashville with his mom, I think, to about 10 years old. So about Little League age, he moved back, and, of course, we became close. He was a year ahead of me in school, and just me and Danny became just inseparable through elementary school, through high school, and it seemed like whatever position he played, that's where they put me. And so I was his backup in like every sport, and I had to guard him every day in basketball practice. And, you know, so he played shortstop and I would pitch and we'd switch. And, you know, and as a quarterback, of course, he was, how can I say this lightly? He was a little better than I was. So I had to find another position to get on the field. So I started learning how to catch it. So, yeah, Danny,
well,
Danny was great.
It's a better position anyway.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So, Danny, you know, I was in middle school. We went up to watch Livingston. I guess they were playing. Yeah, they were playing Cookeville. The thing that I remember that just was an aha moment for me, I'd heard about him, of course. Mm-hmm. He went for option on the left side, went down the veer line. He faked it, tucked it, was going to run. They recommitted back on him. I wish I could visually show the folks listening out there. He did a little flip backwards to his right and flipped the ball backwards to the tailback. Nobody was there. Went up to the sideline for like a 55-yard touchdown. You know, the tailback didn't do anything, catch the ball and run.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that. I was like, my gosh, who is that guy? That's Danny McCoin.
Yeah, he did some really special things. And he was one of those guys that it was kind of like baseball's the one I remember the best. You know, when there's two out in the last inning, you're down one, and Danny comes up, it was just this sense of, well, we're going to win. We're going to win. That's just how we felt. Basketball, when it got late in the game, you know, there was no – we didn't have to look to coach to see who to get the ball to. We knew that Danny needed the ball. And he was just – he just had that special takeover mentality, and not in a bad way,
right,
in a great way.
Leader.
And just he just did it, and just so many times.
One of the most competitive guys I've probably – and I don't know him near as well as you do.
Yeah.
But one of the most competitive guys I've ever seen.
He is one of those special people that he's better on the football field than you are. He's better in the baseball field. He's better on the court. And then he picks up a ping pong paddle or a golf club, and he's just he's just that gifted. And pretty special. And when you think about him going on to Cincinnati and becoming an All-American, and you know, he almost quit, came home. He was so homesick when he first got there, to know that he ended up staying and becoming what he did, and then Detroit Lions, it's just pretty awesome.
So we go play him. I'm at Tennessee Tech.
Mm-hmm.
We go up to Cincinnati. Yep. Ragland had that connection, of course.
That's right.
We go up to Cincinnati and we play them, packed house. Of course, it was homecoming because they were playing us, you know, in bigger school. Danny proceeded to throw for probably about 450 yards, had a great game. At that time, he was actually being considered for the Heisman.
Yeah, he came in fifth that year.
He came in.
There was trophy. There were posters all over Cincinnati, you know, promoting him. And we're still thinking he's Danny, you know.
Yeah.
And we would go watch him, three or four buddies, and every Saturday we could, we'd drive to Cincinnati. And it just kept continuing, you know, his first year, I think sophomore year, redshirt sophomore, he started playing all the time. And we thought, man, he's doing okay. And then he got really good. And then he got, and the next thing we know, they're talking All-American. And he's playing against teams like, you know, this is not us playing DeKalb County. This is Cincinnati playing against Miami, the Hurricanes,
right,
and the Gators and Alabama. And just, you know, he did wonderful every time he played those guys. So we knew he belonged.
He probably won't remember this, but he got finished with his senior year. And he had a bunch of scouts coming in to Tennessee Tech. And I think it was his dad maybe called my dad and said, hey, could Sam come over there and run routes? You talk about the best day in my life.
Wow.
I thought that was the greatest thing in the world.
Wow.
There were several pro scouts on there, and I don't even know if Danny would even remember that, but I got to – and the thing I remembered, you know, we ran some quick game routes at the beginning. When he threw that ball, man, it was popping now.
Yeah, I can remember, and I would always catch for him when we'd get ready to go, but there was a huge difference in the velocity from his junior year in college to his senior year. And I don't know what happened to him. Of course, he lifted. He got stronger. But I remember always being able to catch a ball, no gloves back then. You know, we didn't have gloves or anything like that, and the balls were slick and old. And, and the next year, though, he came home, and I'm talking about gloves, pads, whatever I could find, because he was killing me.
Yeah.
And he was that, you know, that accurate, too.
We're talking to Steve Robbins, athletic director at Cookeville High School. Enough about Danny McCoy. If he hears this, he won't be able to walk through the door. His head's going to be so big. So we're going to have to get away from Danny and talk about some more of your compadres out there. Great names in Livingston. The next one I'll throw out there, Matt Eldridge.
Matt Eldridge. I met Matt Eldridge in Little League. Matt, those of you that know Matt, he's a big guy, always has been, big, strong. And my Little League coach said, we got a new kid coming, from a little boy coming from Hillham. And so I was an average sized little kid, you know, I'm expecting some little, you know, 4'7" kid, and in walks this monster of a curly haired, blonde headed kid, walks in and he says, hey, I'm Matt. I was about 9 or 10 and he was probably 10 or 11, you know, and we became friends right away, but he was just the biggest, strongest, fastest kid out there. And he just continued, and I played these couple years ahead of me in school. So, you know, football, great tight end, and in basketball, great player, and just baseball, could hit it a long way. Just really good athlete.
You throw Mark in there at the same time, brothers.
Yeah, twin brothers, very different personalities. Back then, Mark was the more happy-go-lucky. He was the point guard, and, you know, shot it a lot, flamboyant. Football was a receiver, safety on defense. Outfield and baseball, just a great personality Mark was. And the tie back also was his mom and dad worked with my mom. And so, you know, that just even bonded us a little closer there. And, but Matt was more quiet in school, where Mark was more outgoing. And then as I got older and I started coaching with Matt years later at Livingston, he was so successful. Those people don't know Matt. Matt's got a phone thing. He uses the phone a lot. And so,
that's an understatement.
So I got used to Matt's calls, and I still talk to him usually once a day. So just great friends.
I tell you what, he's something. You know, Mark's still coaching up Maryville.
Mark, I can tell you the Maryville deal. He had done really well at Oneida, and then went to Anderson County, had a great job, and somehow I ran into him, and he said, "Well, I just took the Maryville job." And I said, "Well, good for you. You know, good. I was proud for him." And the first year he was there, it was wintertime, probably February-ish, right before tournament, and his father passed away. Matt Mark's father passed away. And I was in Chattanooga at the time, so I drove up to see him and just asked him, you know, trying to get his mind off that. I said, well, how are you going to do tournament? This was his first year at Maryville. And he said, well, we're okay, but he said, next year we got a shot, meaning to do it all. Well, they got hot and won it that year and won it on as perfect Mark Eldridge on a buzzer beater 3-pointer from about 30. The kid drilled it, And the guys on TV were in shock that he didn't go inside. And of course, if you know Mark, Mark's going to gun it. So it was just, it was perfect for Mark. But that was a really cool moment. That was his first year there. So
you're growing up with these guys. You guys, the basketball team that you put on the floor was incredible. Really everything, baseball, football. I mean, it's just, there's got to be so many memories with these guys ingrained in you. Yeah. What does that mean to you today?
Just, I think my deal growing up, I was always kind of the shy kid who I just wanted to be part of a good team and to know I was contributing. And I wanted to play. I wanted to get on the field, on the floor somehow. So I went from a two guard to a five guy down low, just learning how to rebound and stuff. And just so I could be on the floor, I just wanted to be a part of that group because I knew how good they were and how talented they were. And just wanted to be a good teammate and be part of something special.
Well, LA's got a long tradition of that. And mm-hmm. We could go, there's not enough time to go through all the folks that deserve to be named on this show here with you. And don't get mad at him out there, Livingston folks. We only got a certain amount of time. But let's get back to you for a little bit. And you get to coaching. When did you decide that you wanted to be a coach?
I think that was one of those moments. I got lucky enough to go to Cumberland University and be part of one of the absolute best programs in the country in NAIA baseball, a small college, but playing for Woody Hunt. And if you don't know who Woody is, look him up. He's a more special person than even as a coach. We just did a thing for him last spring where he finally stepped down after all those years. But I think I had so much instilled from Livingston. Then I went there and he just taught me so much about baseball and life too that just kept stacking on top of what I'd already learned, what I've been taught at home, and he preached the right things, do what's right, work ethic, be on time, that just small things, and it makes the success just grow.
So you think about the folks that you've been around, Durwood Vaughn, all the way through, your life and then who you coached with and who you got to play with before that. Man, that's been a pretty good run.
Pretty special. Yeah, and I got married in 1997 to Wendy, and that's just been a huge blessing. I don't even have words to describe that. But I was in the middle of coaching football and baseball, and I had become an administrator at the time, so I was pretty busy. We got married, and then babies came right away, and so my busy became triple. But we moved away in 2001. Had no clue. We just loaded up and got a job offer in Sevier County and went up there and loved it. Was there for 1 year. And out of the blue, I got a job offer in North Georgia. So we took it and was in North Georgia 10 years, worked in a North Georgia school system for 4 and then moved over to Boyd Buchanan, which was 6 years of outstanding. Just the people down there took me in, and I'm as close to some of those as I am even the ones in Livingston.
Steve, I don't think I even knew you went to Georgia for that long.
Yeah. We lived in Ringgold was our address, but I worked at Rossville Middle School, and that was my time when my kids were tiny and I wasn't coaching. I got out. I was actually – my title wasn't athletic director, but I was at every athletic event. I was assistant principal, so I kind of ran the athletics too. But it was a middle school, and that was a tough time for me just time-wise and making family work, but – I learned a lot and I grew a lot, and the Boyd Buchanan thing came open, and I ended up being dean of students there and the athletic director, head baseball coach, and assistant head football coach. So we were there. My wife was the accountant, and both kids were there. So we were there all the time. But it was really great, just a super special place.
Well, I wasn't going to let this go without you mentioning Miss Wendy, and you did that. And behind every good teacher and coach is a good wife or spouse, and she's definitely that.
Just knowing all the things that she's been behind me and been beside me with, just a special, special girl. And I'm lucky there. And then we got two great kids. I know I got one sitting out here looking into the window at a Sawyer. Most everybody couple knows him. And then, my daughter just graduated from MTSU. Super proud of her. And she's gotten into the entertainment business and doing a great job with that.
Awesome. Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking the time, especially on such late notice, for joining us today. Got a lot more to talk about. We're going to have to bring you back sometime. So appreciate your time, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Sounds good, Sam. Thank you.